So let's talk about immunotherapy and colorectal cancer, both MSI-high and MSI-stable disease. And Axel, maybe you can begin by kind of providing a little bit of an overview of what we know about in terms of the genotype of colorectal cancer as it relates to immunotherapy.
Immunotherapy actually works in immunogenic tumors. Immunogenic tumors are identified by the expression of neoantigens on the surface of these tumor cells. So there are two different ways to generate these neoantigens, on the surface. One is by, being exposed to carcinogenic agents or factors like sun, like smoking, etc. And that's why we see that melanomas and non-small cell lung cancer and lung cancer in general actually do respond to immunotherapy quite well. For colorectal cancer, the situation is a little bit different because right now we have identified these 4 to 5% of patients with metastatic disease that have the mismatch repair deficiency phenotype, meaning they have an inherent tendency to develop these mutations because the mismatch repair enzymes are deficient or not functioning well. And so the tumors accumulate these mutations that can then lead to the expression of these neoantigens on the surface of tumor cells and make these cells immunogenic. This really classifies right now colorectal cancer as one immunogenic tumor with high mutational load, the MSI-high tumors, potentially Pol E mutation, which is a smaller group, and then the MSS tumors with low tumor mutational burden that do not respond to conventional immunotherapy approaches right now.
Mike, can you talk a little bit about what we know about the immunotherapy in MSI-high disease?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think this has been one of the real kind of dramatic successes we've seen recently. And I think, it's interesting. It is, as Axel described, really kind of a black or white kind of differentiation. We see patients with deficient mismatch repair having really dramatic responses and people with proficient mismatch repair having almost no response. And we can kind of talk about that a little bit more, but it's really clear cut and kind of delineating the population that's responding to immune therapy. And so based on kind of identifying this subpopulation, we've seen a lot of approvals and a lot of, change in regards to practice pattern over the last few years, right? So if you look at metastatic colorectal cancer that's deficient in mismatch repair, we have approvals for pembrolizumab, we have approval for nivolumab, we have approval for nivolumab and ipilimumab in refractory setting. Recently, we have the KEYNOTE-177 study that actually now has gotten an FDA approval for pembrolizumab in the frontline setting for deficient mismatch repair metastatic colorectal cancer. And even pembrolizumab also has an indication for, deficient mismatch repair any solid tumor cancer, right? So the first tumor agnostic indication outside of the colorectal space falls in there. So a number of different indications where we see kind of really robust activity. And I think, the KEYNOTE-177 is kind of the most recent study, a randomized phase three study looking at pembrolizumab in the frontline for metastatic colorectal cancer versus chemotherapy. And, the outcomes are just really tremendous. And you see a progression rate that does exist. So there is a rate of patients that have progression, but the vast majority of patients are benefiting. And we see this consistent, plateauing of our progression-free survival curve that's been consistent with all of our immune therapy approaches in deficient mismatch repair colorectal cancer and tumors in general. And so I think that's kind of what's really gotten us exciting. And I think, I participated in a number of the earlier studies looking at nivolumab and nivolumab ipilimumab, and we have patients now that are, 4 years out off therapy and without any disease recurrence. So I really do believe that, in an anecdotal sense, we're clearly seeing this tail of the curve persisting. And clearly there's a subset there that we're curing with immune therapy. There is no doubt about that. And I think that's kind of what's really kind of made this group so exciting is that, yes, a therapy that works very well, but a therapy that's really just a game changer for patients, right? I mean, I think historically we would say metastatic colorectal cancer, outside of surgical intervention, we are palliating, we are going to extend your life, but we're not going to fix it. But identifying deficient mismatch repair subset is a group where you can say immune therapy works well, we potentially are fixing and curing your problem. And I really think that is kind of a game changer in perspective. I think the challenge, as Axel mentioned, is that in the metastatic space, we're talking about, 4 to 5% of patients, right? So 1 in 20 patients have this, and the vast majority of patients you see do not have this. But I think that the success and activity here just makes the point that it is imperative that we test and identify these patients. I mean, it works that well. And so I think that really gets to the initial kind of testing needs to be done. And that can be easily by immunohistochemical staining, which is fairly simple and easy. And any local lab can do that. And I think that's a fine approach to do it. or you can have it incorporated into a, you know, a larger next generation sequencing panel. And that would be a fine approach to capture these patients. But it's really critical that we do capture these patients. And now, you know, as I just said, we can capture them and give them this pembrolizumab in the very front line with metastatic disease, which is fantastic. On this slide here, you're seeing kind of the outcomes reported. You know, for me, we do see the stable disease potentially having real benefits. So it is kind of the disease control rate, which I think is the real potential rate that is demonstrating the beneficial rate in regards to kind of immune therapy response. But the one noted here from a slide is the rate of progressive disease, which is higher in immune therapy. So the one challenge we do have in immune therapy, and one of the areas that I think is probably the most interesting and current ongoing research efforts, is that progressive disease does occur, and it tends to most commonly be, you know, kind of intrinsic or innate progression. So we see adaptive resistance rarely, but most commonly you see that upfront subset. So there's a subset of deficient mismatch repair, colorectal cancer, deficient mismatch repair, any tumor type that has progression to immune therapy. And so that's approximately about 30% of patients with monotherapy, PD-1 based therapy, consistently seen across all different data sets. And so, you know, who are those patients? We can talk about what we don't really quite yet know who those patients are. There is some data with combination that potentially maybe does seem to have a lower rate of progression. So potentially, you know, combination therapy addresses some of that concern over the progression rate, but with the cost of the toxicity of having to use dual kind of immune therapy agents, which is your anti-PD-1 and your anti-CTLA-4.
So Axel, any comments about that? And from a clinical point of view, the fact that you see this progression, what does that mean? For example, if you have a symptomatic patient, would you still go with PD-1? And also, as we look at this slide here, looking at ipi/nivo, any thoughts about that as well? Looks like the rate of progression, at least indirectly, seems smaller. But any thoughts, Axel?
Yeah, I think it is a clinically important point that there is a group of patients, about 30%, that have progression as their best response, in spite of the fact that they have mismatch repair deficient MSI high tumors. And it will be critical for us to identify these patients. And I do believe, you know, there are some, you know, we could potentially look at tumor mutation burden, you know, which is a surrogate marker for the responsiveness, even of MSI high tumors, for two immunotherapies, because we know that in the MSI high group, high TMB, let's say over 20, over 30, predicts for a good response, whereas lower TMB, and these tumors exist actually, MSI high, lower TMB, below 20, they do not have the same level of response. And it could well be that we might have to combine these PD-1 antibody pembrolizumab with chemotherapy up front, and then potentially use pembrolizumab as maintenance therapy. Because, you know, the intriguing part, as Mike pointed out, is really the plateau. And I strongly believe there are patients with mismatch repair deficient metastatic colon cancer that can be cured with single agent or combination of immunotherapy. The nivo-ipi data are interesting, but admittedly, you know, this is not a randomized comparison. It's 45 patients presented by Heinz Lenz repeatedly now. But the one interesting point was that with the longer follow-up that Heinz Lenz showed, the depth of response seemed to be stronger. And as you alluded to, at least numerically, the number of patients progressing was lower. So it could well be that the pembrolizumab single agent approval just opens the door for future combinations and future assessment, you know, which patient needs pembro alone, which patients needs it in combination with chemotherapy or potentially with a CTLA-4 antibody or other immune therapies.